Sometimes there are days when it is necessary for us to play it by ear, as they say, when we do not know exactly what else to do. Perhaps as a student you were not able to study for a test, or as a businessman caught unawares by a client. Sometimes, as it were, lost in the woods, metaphorically and really, confronted by a threat, or threading your way carefully through a difficult reconciliation process. In other words, we are caught in the kind of situation where real preparation is either impossible or else simply too late. And there is no detailed map available, no plan. All we can do then is try to behave spontaneously, following our best instincts available, and try to get a feel for what the situation calls from us. And at the same time, try to hang loose, as they would say. Now that ability that we all need sometimes to improvise is a critically important human talent. Unlike the little insects, we people are not programmed genetically for that kind of makeup. What is more, we have a much wider variety of potential responses to choose from in any given situation than do most of the other primates. So it means that our survival really depends on our capacity to respond quickly and creatively and intuitively to the events of daily life, sometimes the ordinary ones and sometimes the extraordinary ones. Now I know that there are some people who are able to be good at quick, spontaneous responses. Football quarterbacks, for example. Others are the kind of people who are also good at being able to push their luck. And they're able to trust their intuitions, their instincts, to such an extent that sometimes they are able to omit the prudent kind of preparations and practice that other people need. On the other hand, there are many people who are timid and cautious, and as a result, they rigidly rein in any kind of spontaneity and intuition. They're not yet able to trust their instinct unless they are totally and fully prepared for whatever happens. Now those people who are gifted and are called the natural quarterbacks, for instance, who have natural skills, the people we admire, we realize later on that their apparently, and I say apparently, instinctive responses are really the result of much work, highly disciplined, practiced, elaborately developed abilities. And so paradoxically, we discover as the years go on that to be really good at playing it by ear, learning to trust your intuition, really takes a great deal of work and practice, much more than we would ever suspect. Now, there are different names that we give to this human capacity to play it by ear, and one of them is simply spirit. How often we speak about a spirited drive of a football team, or a spirited performance of an orchestra, or an inspired response to a question. Whenever we use those words, we mean that the person or the group has simply risen to a new kind of height, whether by accident or by long, long practice. They have finally achieved a kind of moment of transcendence when all of the human skills finally honed have finally been able to come together and operate with a certain kind of freedom, so that to the onlooker or to the listener, it's almost as if it were playful. They have surpassed all previous limitations. And so that kind of spirited person turns out to be very resourceful, ingenious, and successful. He or she then knows how to take risks, inspired risks, that are really not reckless gambles at all. The spirited person has the confidence to know when and how to play it by ear, but it's taken many years of practice and work and discipline to arrive at that stage. Now, all of this that we've just said is really preliminary to understanding that beautiful passage in today's Holy Gospel where the Holy Spirit is described as coming upon, descending upon Jesus. It means that Jesus was able to begin his public life with this spontaneous, creative human ability fully developed. He was able to respond now to whatever happened. God speaks to us, people, today, prompts us, people, demands a response from us, people, through the ordinary events of our daily life. The same Spirit that came upon Jesus. The Spirit given to us, the same Spirit, is the capacity that we have in our personality that enables us in daily life to act, react quickly and intuitively and wisely to all of those demands and events of daily life, and then to perceive that it truly is the Holy Spirit who is at work in those ordinary events of daily life. And then to learn through reflection that it is a response to God's Spirit, and to do it with confidence and trust. That is exactly what Saint Paul means when he says that the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, heart to heart. The Spirit of God dwells in the innermost depths of our heart. Paul means that that which is most creative, most loving in God, interacts with that which is most creative and intuitive and outgoing and loving in our heart. For example, it is really through their spirits that two lovers are able to communicate. Particularly after they have married and lived together for many years, two people who are in love are able to communicate and perceive by second nature, as we say, each other's moods. They have finally discovered to learn to have a feel for each other's personalities that allows them, as it were, to hang loose with one another. But only after the years have gone on have they discovered this discipline. Through practiced care, they develop a skill at learning how to read each other's reactions. Playing it by ear with a lover, because you know the lover so well and you trust the lover so fully. Now, in the same way, as the years go on, through prayer and reflection, we all become open enough and free enough to be inspired by the Spirit of God. That we, as we learn to discover the meaning of a lover's reaction, we also trust God's Spirit living within us. And we learn how to trust and respond to that Spirit, to know what God wants us to do, and we follow those instincts in the life that we call grace, so that we are able to live our life more confidently, more intuitively, more trustfully. Now we ask, how can you tell when your spirit is really responding to the Spirit of God, so that you are really able to hang loose, as it were, and play it by ear? The best sign of all is when the inspiration of the presumed spirit brings freedom, freedom and liberation to yourself and to others around you. God's Holy Spirit does not impose further burdens or restrictions upon others. It's always possible, of course, to make mistakes, just as a good quarterback who plays in the Super Bowl is not immune from mistakes. Even his instincts are able to deceive him. His feel for the situation after all the practice and discipline still allows for things to go wrong. But he does win more often than he loses because of those highly disciplined skills that have enabled him to act creatively and quickly and brilliantly. And so also, as the years go on and we pray and reflect, our response to God's promptings in the ordinary events of our lives become more second nature. Even if at best we do at times make mistakes. But making mistakes, which simply means failing to read situations perfectly, falling on our faces, is always preferable than to give in to the temptation, never to take chances, and always being so defensive in the game of life. We need then moments to pray, to reflect, to be open to and listen to the voice of the Spirit, so that quiet voice is not drowned out with the noise of daily life. When the same Spirit tries to descend upon us as he did upon Jesus at the River Jordan, sometimes a Spirit comes with the sound of a hurricane, but not often. Most often the Spirit comes only in a light and whispering wind. That is why we need to learn how to listen, to reflect, to pray quietly. And then we discover what the Spirit tells us, that he will never break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick. That it is indeed then that the Lord is calling us quietly, silently.